Hey, everybody. This is Pastor Brian Ross from Grace Life Bible Church in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And I want to come to you with a video this week. I didn't have time to do one last week, and I'm going to try to do one of these, at least one of these weekly. And the topic I want to deal with today is some questions I've been getting about the issue of Pauline ordinances. So this topic has come up recently for a variety of reasons. Before we get into that, though, I want to let you know about a sale that Dispensational Publishing House is doing on my book, with co-written book with Dr. Dale DeWitt, on J.C. O'Hare and the Origins of the American Grace Movement, 1899 to 1958. So that's currently on stock. The sticker price on that book is $19.95. You can buy it this week on sale from Dispensational Publishing House for $15.96. So I'm going to go ahead and put a link to that in the comments if you're interested in that. But this is a full-length feature book, church history book about the origin of J.C. O'Hare and the American Grace Movement. And if you've ever wondered about the history of dispensational thought in the United States, I would encourage you to check that out. I would also encourage you, if you're so inclined, to like this video and subscribe to our channel, so that you don't miss any of our content, either that we're doing here in the middle of the week or that we do on Sunday morning. So the question that I'm going to be dealing with today is a question related to the issue of Pauline ordinances. So if you look, I've been preaching recently through the book of Colossians at church, and we just finished a few weeks ago chapter 2 and started chapter 3. Well, we've done two studies now on chapter 3. But if you look at Colossians 2:20, wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men. So the reason the question regarding ordinances has come up is because of verses like this in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. Paul says in verse 1, be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. So here we've got Paul talking about keeping ordinances that he's delivering. But over here in Colossians chapter 2, verse 20, he's talking about, you know, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men. So the question is, well, how is it that we're not subject to ordinances here, but Paul is talking about us keeping ordinances back in 1 Corinthians chapter 11? Recent teaching has suggested, well, Paul's not talking to the body of Christ in 1 Corinthians or in portions of 1 Corinthians. And so therefore, you know, he's talking to the little flock here when he tells them to keep the ordinances, because the body of Christ isn't subject to ordinances, but the nation of Israel and also the little flock, you know, obviously were under the law. Okay, so there's confusion about that some folks have, and they've asked me about it, and so I want to kind of address that. So the issue here is really related to, how are we going to define and understand the issue of ordinances? So if we go to the Webster's Dictionary, we can look here. So this is the Webster's American Dictionary of the English Language from 1828. And he's got the definition here of an ordinance: a rule established by authority, a permanent rule of action. An ordinance may be a law or a statute of sovereign power. In this sense, it is often used in the scriptures, Exodus 15, Numbers 10, Ezra 3, and it may also signify a decree, edict, or rescript, and the word has sometimes been applied to the statutes of parliament, but these are usually called acts or laws. In the United States, it is never applied to the acts of Congress or of a state legislature, but then it says observance commanded, appointment, and then the fourth definition is established rite or ceremony, Hebrews 9:1, and there it is. Then verily, the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. So I'm not totally sure if that's the King James text there or the Webster's Bible, but there's an occurrence of the word ordinances in Hebrews 9:1. And Webster's defining it there in this sense: baptism and the Lord's Supper are the denominated ordinances. So we see a couple different definitions here. So what's been done is through the use of the law first mentioned, we can go back and we can see that the first occurrence of the word ordinance singular is in Exodus chapter 12, verse 14. And it says, "And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and you shall keep it a feast of the Lord throughout your generations, and you shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever." So they're to keep the feast as an ordinance. So here we see God giving Israel an ordinance that they're supposed to keep, and they're supposed to keep and follow it forever. So we a rule established by authority, a permanent rule of action, an ordinance. So we see God doing that with the nation of Israel. We can look at the first occurrence of ordinances, plural, in Exodus 18, and we see, "Thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and thou shalt keep them the way wherein they must walk, and the work they must do." So it's very clear that these ordinances are related to the Mosaic Law. They're included within the Mosaic Law. And they're things that Israel is supposed to walk in and do and observe, etc. Okay? So when Paul is talking now about in Colossians, and he's dealing with the specific error in Colossae, the Gnostic error, which is a mixture of a lot of different things, including the worshiping of angels, including the, you know, extreme asceticism and the denying of the body, like he talks about here in verse 23, "which things indeed have a show of wisdom and will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh." So this Gnosticism was a mixture of angel worship and law keeping and religious legalism and observances of ordinances, and also this extreme asceticism and the neglecting of the body. And Paul says that the problem with all of that is that the people that are involved in this, especially up here, the voluntary humility and the worshiping of angels, etc., is that they're not holding Christ as the head. That is the main error here in the book of Colossians that Paul is addressing. So when he says here that we're not under ordinance, he says, "Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances?" So when he's saying that, he's saying, why are you putting, if you are dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world? Well, if we go back up here, we can see that in verse 14, where Paul said, "Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, he took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross." Well, that historically is a reference to the Mosaic Law. The handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, he took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. "And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink, in respect of and holy days, or of new moon or of Sabbath days." So all these things, if we study these things out, and I'll include a link in the description to the study where we covered some of these things, if you want to, you know, take a deeper dive into that information, all this is related to the Mosaic Law. Okay, so when he says here that wherefore if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? The ordinances that he's talking about here, touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men, are talking in the context about the Mosaic Law. And of course, we know that the Mosaic Law was a system that God gave, you know, way back here in Exodus chapter 12, and chapter 13, and chapter 15, and chapter 18, and that he gave that to the nation of Israel. And we know that Christ satisfied, on the cross, Christ satisfied the righteous requirements of the law, and he paid off the law, and he took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Therefore, the body of Christ, you and I today in the dispensation of grace that have trusted the finished work of Christ, his shed blood on the cross and his resurrection from the dead, we're not subject to these things. But the Gnostic error was telling people that they needed to be subject to these things, that they needed to neglect their body, that they needed to not touch certain things, not taste certain things, not handle certain things. And this was all part and parcel of the Gnostic era that Paul is dealing with. So in the context of Colossians 2, the ordinances are clearly dealing with the Mosaic law. But if we come back over here, notice what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. He says, be ye followers of me. Be ye followers of me. Ye is second person plural, talking about all of the believers there in Corinth. Okay? Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things. So he wants them to follow him as he follows Christ. And he wants the Corinthians, that ye remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. So here he's talking about some ordinances that he gave them, not some ordinances that were established in time past, but some ordinances that Paul gave to the Corinthians and that he delivered unto them. So in a set of notes that I have here, I have a point. So these are my notes on some notes on the Lord's Supper. And I'll also try to remember to include these in the notes, but I have a note here on 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2. Paul wants the Corinthians to remember him in all things and to keep the ordinances he delivered them unto the Corinthians. This follows from verse 1. And again, what was verse 1? Be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Okay? This follows from verse 1. How are the Corinthians going to follow Christ? They're going to follow Christ by following Paul. How are the Corinthians going to remember Paul in all things? Well, notice what it says. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things. Well, how are they going to do that? How are they going to remember him in all things? They're going to remember him by keeping the ordinances. Now, are these the ordinances of time past? Are these the ordinances of the Mosaic law? Is Paul putting the Corinthian believers here under the law? He says, and keep the ordinances as I delivered them unto you. So how are the Corinthians going to remember Paul in all things? By keeping the ordinances Paul delivered unto them. So at this point, it's important to note the chain of command established by verses 1 and 2. Paul follows Christ. That's verse 1. Christ delivered ordinances unto Paul for the body of Christ to follow. Paul delivered the ordinances to the Corinthians. So here we see, brethren, remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. Well, where did Paul get these ordinances from? The implication is that he got them from who? He got them from Christ. And he's asking them to be followers of him, i.e. Paul, even as I also am of Christ. So as Paul follows Christ, there are some ordinances that Paul is endeavoring to keep and that he is delivering to the Corinthians. Okay? Now, remember that one of the definitions of an ordinance is simply an observance commanded or something given that we are to do or an instruction that we are to follow. Okay? An appointment. All right? So, Paul, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he is endeavoring, beseeching here the Corinthians to follow him, be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them unto you. So, Paul follows Christ. Christ delivered ordinances unto Paul for the body of Christ to follow. Paul delivered the ordinances to the Corinthians. The Corinthians remember Paul by keeping the ordinances that Paul delivered unto them. So, when the Corinthians follow Paul by keeping the ordinances delivered unto them, they are, in fact, ultimately following who? Following Christ. Okay? So, a lot of people get sort of really uptight about the issue of the word ordinances because they view them in a either Mosaic law sense or they view them in a denominational, Protestant, ritualistic baptism and Lord's Supper sense. But an ordinance can also simply just be an observance commanded. Okay. So, and then Paul also says, so if we look here and we go to the word ordinances, let's just do that quick. So we'll come here to ordinances, and we can see that this word is also translated other places as tradition or traditions. And sometimes tradition is negative, and sometimes tradition is positive. So in Matthew 15:2, why do the disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. Verse 3, but he answered and said unto them, why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? So here we have the traditions of men. So that's what Paul was talking about here in Colossians chapter 2, verses 20, 21, and 22, when he said, after the commandments and doctrines of men. So the ordinances that he's talking about here are very specific. They are either number one, the Mosaic law, or they are number two, those religious practices that men put on other men in addition to the law, like we see here in Matthew chapter 15. Okay, but then if we go down, we can also see, you know, Paul, he says in Galatians that he was more zealous of the traditions of his fathers. We know about Colossians 2:8 about beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. But then we see here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 15, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. So, did Paul receive tradition? Did he receive ordinances / traditions from Christ that were delivered unto him that he was delivering unto the churches for them to follow? Well, I see no problem with that, understanding that a tradition or an ordinance can be an observance commanded. Paul gives the body of Christ imperative commands that we as members of the church, the body of Christ, are supposed to follow. Okay? So let's just go back over here and see also 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us. So did Paul give the body of Christ tradition or ordinances, or using the definition, observances that we are supposed to follow as members of the church, the body of Christ? Okay. So these are not the same as the ordinances and the traditions of men and the commandments and the doctrines of men that Paul is saying that Christ paid off in Colossians chapter 2, verse 14, and that we're not subject to or under in Colossians chapter 2 at the end here, verses 20 through 23. These are talking about very specific things of the religious world, not the ordinances or the traditions that were delivered to Paul and that Paul was delivering to the churches. So let's just go back there and look at that one more time. So here we have 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and we'll get rid of this. And we have, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things, that ye keep the ordinances as I delivered them unto you. So did Paul give observances and commands to the church, the body of Christ, for us to follow that were separate, that were apart, that were from Christ, that were distinct from the Mosaic law? Now, what's very interesting to me is that the folks who would make a big deal about this in Colossians chapter 2, if you go to Colossians chapter 3, immediately following in the next chapter, and we look at a few things here, it is very interesting, okay? Notice what it says. If ye then be risen with Christ. So I'm not going to get into all of this. I'll put this also in the comments. My study on this, but this is not the if of doubt. This is not the if of maybe it is, maybe it isn't. This is the if of logic and the if of argumentation. If ye then be risen with Christ, notice this word, notice this verb here, seek. So on the basis of the established fact that the believer is risen with Christ, chapter 2 established that, on the basis of the fact that you're risen with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. So let me ask you a question. Is there an instruction here? Is there an observance that Paul is giving to the body of Christ that he wants us to follow during this dispensation? The answer to that is yes. So let's turn the tools on, and I just want to show you. So if ye then be risen with Christ, here's the verb, seek those things which are above. So if we look at the parsing on that, we can see that that is in the imperative mood. The imperative mood is the mood of command. When Paul says, if ye then be risen with Christ, is he just making a, you know, just a loose recommendation? If you feel like it, go ahead. If not, you know, no big deal. Or is he giving that as an imperative command that he expects members of the church, the body of Christ, to take seriously? Okay? So in that sense, is he giving an ordinance? Is there something that we are to observe? Is there something that our apostle is commanding us to do? The answer is yes. What is he commanding us to do? Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. So the end of chapter 2 clearly doesn't mean that there are no ordinances or imperative commands to the church, the body of Christ, because the very folks that are calling some of these things into doubt and into question have taught on Colossians chapter 3 as things that the body of Christ are supposed to follow. So we see, seek those things which are above. Look at verse 2. Set your affection on things above. Set your affection, guess what? If we look at that verb, guess what we're going to see? We're going to see that that is also an imperative. So on the basis of the established fact that you're risen with Christ, what are we supposed to do? Seek those things which are above in verse 1. Set your affection on things above. Let's keep going. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. If we look at the issue of mortify, guess what we're going to find? We're going to find again that that is an imperative. It's a command. It's not a mere suggestion. It is a course of action that the apostle of the Gentiles is telling the body of Christ that they need to follow on the basis of who we have been made in Christ. Okay? In the which also we walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these. I don't want to sound like a broken record, but, and I've already checked, but if you look up the word, if you look up the verb here, put off, guess what you're going to find? You're going to find it's an imperative. It's a command. Okay, so are there observances that Paul has commanded the body of Christ? There are tons of them in Colossians chapter 3. We've already seen verse 1, seek. We've seen verse 2, set your affection. Verse 5, mortify therefore your members, okay? Verse 8, put off all these. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man and his deeds, and have put on the new man, okay? So, again, imperative, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all in all, put on therefore. So again, if we look at that, put on, guess what we're going to find? We're going to find it's in the imperative mood. So Colossians chapter 3, immediately following the section at the end of chapter 2, where Paul says that we're not subject to ordinances, touch not, taste not, handle not, after the commandments and doctrines of men, etc., we have Paul giving the body of Christ an entire chapter full of imperative instructions that the body of Christ is to be following, okay? And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. So if we look at let, guess what we're going to find? Let is in the imperative mood. These are all imperatives. This chapter is full of them immediately following the section where he says that we're not under those ordinances. When he's talking about those ordinances, he's talking about the Mosaic Law as well as the traditions that men would put on other men. He's not talking about the ordinances or the traditions that Paul gave to the body of Christ. And these behavior patterns that Paul is commanding us to follow as members of the church, the body of Christ, they are all imperatives, as is verse 13, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. That is also an imperative. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Wives, submit yourselves. Submit is an imperative. Husbands, love your wives. Love is an imperative. Children, obey your parents. This is an imperative. Fathers, provoke not. That is an imperative. Servants, obey in all things your masters. Again, an imperative. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily. Whatsoever ye do, imperative. Do heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. So we see that Colossians chapter 3 is full of imperative instructions, imperative commands. So Paul, as the apostle of the Gentiles, can give the church, the body of Christ, ordinances that he's delivered unto them for them to follow without putting them under the Mosaic Law and without putting them under his own system of performance-based acceptance. He is giving the church, the body of Christ, those things, right? So here, just think about the instructions here. This basically covers, chapter 3, Colossians 3 covers the gamut of your whole life, right? You're supposed to seek, set, mortify, put off, put on. You're supposed to forbear one another. You're supposed to forgive one another. You're supposed to put on charity. You're supposed to let the peace of God rule in your heart. You're supposed to let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks unto the Father. Wives are to submit to their own husbands. Husbands are to love their wives. Children are to obey their parents. Fathers are to provoke not their children to anger. And you go all down through here, imperative after imperative after imperative of what is it? It is observance commanded. So, can Paul give the body of Christ an ordinance, a tradition, that he wants them to follow without putting them under the Mosaic Law? I think the obvious answer to that has to be yes. But then we come down to the end of this chapter and notice. So we've seen all imperatives all the way down through this, right? And then notice this, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. So whoever the ye is, all the way up here in verse 1, that's risen with Christ and is to seek those things which are above, and is given the entire list of imperatives here, that same group of people is to do these, observe these behaviors, observe these traditions, observe these methods of speaking and manners of operating and loving and studying, etc., and putting off and mortifying and putting on and minding our speech and minding, you know, fathers minding themselves to not provoke their children to wrath, etc. Why are we to do all of these things as members of the church, the body of Christ? The reason is, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. So, there's a reward associated with these imperatives. There's a reward associated with this. The same people that are going to receive the reward, the ye, are the same people all the way up here in verse 1 who have been risen with Christ and are to seek those things which are above, are to set their affection on things above, who are dead and their life is hid with Christ in God, and who will experience the catching away of the church and the rapture of the church, the body of Christ. I've heard a teacher say that this is the rapture of the church. But then you come down here and they want to make this be now the little flock or something because it's talking about reward. There is no consistent methodology of interpretation that will allow you to do that. This entire chapter is about the church, the body of Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respecter of persons. So why should I, as a member of the church, the body of Christ, seek to follow these observances that Paul is commanding here through this entire list of imperatives? The reason I should do that is because I'm aware, because God the Holy Spirit is telling me through the pen of the Apostle Paul that there's a reward here associated with all of this. So, of course, then that would go into the issue of the judgment seat of Christ and all of that. So to conclude, I would just point out, you need to be very careful about those who would talk about the law first mentioned and will go to Exodus chapter 12, verse 14, and then underneath the verse put the definition from the Webster's 1828 dictionary, and then pretend throughout the rest of their teaching that they got the definition of an ordinance from the King James Bible alone, which they absolutely did not do, because they put the verse and then they tagged the dictionary definition underneath that. And then throughout the rest of the whole teaching, they pretend like they got the verse, that they got the definition based upon the law first mentioned. Okay. And second, we need to rightly divide the issue of ordinances, and we need to recognize and understand that the body of Christ does have ordinances in the sense that we do have observances that have been commanded to us by our apostle, the Apostle Paul, the Apostle of the Gentiles. And we need to understand that they are related to the issue of the reward. It's very clear in this chapter, in this context. So we just need to be careful about things that are being said, etc. And understand that Paul did give us traditions to follow. He did give the churches traditions, and he wants the Corinthians, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Paul's not following Christ according to his life and his earthly ministry. He's following Christ according to the glorified, ascended, risen Christ that is seated far above all principality, power, might, and dominion, far above all heavens, etc. And we're seated with him, and from heaven's glory he gave to the apostle, the Gentiles, ordinances to the church that Paul delivered to them, and they're to remember Paul in all things, and to keep the ordinances as I delivered them unto you. So this video hopefully help you with if you're confused about this. I appreciate those who have been asking questions about this. And again, I just want to remind you here that if you haven't already done so, to check out the book on J.C. O'Hare. It's on sale this week on Dispensational Publishing House, and we'll include the description there in the comments. So be sure to check out the description. And if you've enjoyed this video, if you'd consider sharing it and or liking it, subscribing to our page, we would certainly appreciate that. Anyway, I hope you find this edifying, and we'll see you next time.